Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
1 Samuel chapter 24, and I want to just read for the benefit of subject, verse number 4. Read verse 4 through 6 for the benefit of our preachment, but I want to cover all of it if I can. Everybody found it? 1 Samuel, chapter number 24. And verse number 4 reads, "And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I would deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's, he's the anointed of the Lord. Let me read verse 7. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way." We'll stop right there. Say amen for the word of God. On your way to your seat, look to a neighbor, the good-looking one. If you didn't get looked at, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not messy. I'm just I'm sorry. Look to your neighbor and look him in the eye and say, neighbor, you made two good decisions. You came to church and you sat by me. God's word to us today, I can, but I won't. You may be seated in the presence of God. I can, but I won't. I can. I can, but I won't. It is, people have fooled us, I guess, when it comes to being anointed. Because anointing is this presence of God, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in you and over you. And typically, we only look at the anointing on Sunday mornings. That the anointing gives us the power to shout and to speak in tongues and to worship. But the anointing goes way beyond Sunday morning. God's anointing over your life, in your life, gives you power to live victorious every day of your life. To be God's anointed causes a great deal of challenges in your life. Matter of fact, some anointed people don't necessarily feel anointed. I need to say this to all of you today. Be careful about asking God to use you. Because when you ask God to use you, you're thinking about Sunday morning preaching and praying and laying hands on folk. That's not the only way God's going to use you. God will often use you in seeing if you're going to show up early for work. Even though everybody else is coming late, will you still do what's right? Stealing pens and sticky notes and candy at the pastor's office. Different sermon, different time. God will often challenge you to, when you come, you're anointed. Let me say this to you today, y'all, that the anointing of God draws attacks. The anointing of God does not always draw applause, affection, and appreciation. Sometimes the anointing of God will draw attacks. Now, that means that we all got to come on the same page here and understand that the good news about God's anointing is that it will protect you from attacks. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. However, we all got to get on the same page and understand that it also prepares you for attacks. In other words, what I'm trying to get you to see is that oftentimes our attacks are a sign that you're on the right track. Oftentimes being attacked and condemned and persecuted is a sign that you're headed in the right direction. Just because you're under attack does not mean that you've done something wrong. It could be that you're doing something right. Because the attacker sees what the anointed has and does not want the anointed to walk in assignment. Therefore, the attacker will do, say, orchestrate, or create anything or use anybody to make sure that the anointed does not go to the assignment. And we've got to make peace with this, that there are some things God won't block when you're his anointed. Because if you don't get it by now, anointing is for assignment. Anointing is not for your own self-aggrandizement. Anointing is not for you to take pictures and look all glorious and look all glossy and make yourself look good. Anointing is often used for assignment.
that God has not just given you power. God has not just given you purpose or favor. There's a reason God has done that, and there's an assignment attached to your anointing. So, you and I may often be subject to constant attacks. And if I tell the truth today, as our text is going to show us, it will be the same attacker with a different strategy. I lost you already. It's not that you have different attackers. It's just different strategies by the same attacker. They just change how and change who, but they still have the same goal. Problem is, the anointing won't let them be successful. And so the more they fail at killing you, the more aggravated they get. I've lost everybody in the room. The frustration is not necessarily with you. The frustration is with this God who keep covering you. What do you do when you see the attack? Heard the attack being orchestrated. Watching them have their meeting on how to attack. And you still shout, still worship, still produce, still love, because you know by now, although the weapon may be formed, the promise is it will not prosper, because God has already prepared you for what they're trying to plan. Is there anybody in Zion today who can just take about 10 seconds and say, Lord, I thank you that even though I see it, you prepare me for the plan, therefore you've already protected me. It don't matter what you try tomorrow, God is going to have me tomorrow. No matter who you use next week, God's already prepared me and protected me by what's going to happen next week. And today, beloved, some of our irritation, some of the stuff you're catching, can I free somebody? Some of the stuff you're catching is because you ain't died yet. Some of y'all, why you're catching it like you catch it, because you ain't quit yet. You're supposed to step down by now. You're supposed to resign by now. You're supposed to run away by now. You're supposed to got on drugs by now. You're supposed to fought back by now. But here you are, one more Sunday in God's house with your hands lifted, still praising God, and the attacker's trying to feel like, how much more do I need to do to stop that praise? How much more do I need to do to stop that assignment? But the promises of God are yay and amen. And if God brought you to it, you know by now God will bring you through it. Now, y'all, here comes a challenge. Here's the challenge I got to talk about today. Now, that's pretty good, but we all done talked about thus far. Y'all, we cool with that? But here's the problem. What do you do when the attacker is now the prey? When the hunted can become the hunter? Here's your chance to get them back. For all the pain, all the heartache, all the hell they brought you, and life done messed around and given you a golden opportunity that you are no longer the hunted. You could choose to be the hunter, and the hunter now becomes the hunted. And you got to make a decision, will you or won't you? And I wanted to help somebody today before you make a colossal mistake. I can, but I won't. Because God's purpose for my life is bigger than my payback through my life. You're not worth me missing my assignment. Nobody's worth you missing out on your blessing. Nobody is worth you missing out on what God has. It ain't that I can't. I just choose not to. Because I trusted what God has for me. That's all I came to tell you today. That keep your mouth off of them. Don't become what's happening to you. Our text today, just tell the teacher a few things. Because the anointed one, David, is anointed to be the king of Israel, but he's not yet in the place of a king. He was anointed before he accepted the throne. And right now, the one who's in position has been fired. But he's still in position. He's the king by title, but he's not king by testimony. God fired him a long time ago, but he's still letting him serve in office. My amen's cut right there. Because a lot of fired people looking busy. God been through with you because you would not do what God said. And so now you are threatened. Therefore, you try to threaten. That's what's going on with some of y'all. Some people are threatened by you. Therefore, they try to threaten you. They're intimidated by you. Therefore, they try to intimidate you. I got to go and give it to you. Y'all can get mad all you want. David. They're introduced, he and Saul are introduced around 1 Samuel 17. We're on Saul's behalf. He defeats Goliath, this giant Philistine. He is introduced to us. He is now a servant of Saul. He loves Saul. He appreciates Saul. He works for Saul. He serves Saul. He makes Saul feel good when he's down. He helps him win battles that he couldn't win on his own. Yet Saul had a turn. Matter of fact, y'all, David is even Saul's son-in-law. And how do you handle when you're kinfolk? Y'all ever seen folks who supposed to be close to you take a little turn? Something's kind of off. Used to be y'all were connected, but now something is off because the Bible says that Saul's heart. And he kept his eyes fixed on David. It began with this praise parade. And they were coming back from defeating the Philistines that the women were saying that Saul has killed his thousands. And they didn't just say it, they sang it. That Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. And now Saul starts realizing that they ain't giving me enough credit. They're not recognizing me enough. They're starting to recognize him, and I don't like that now because I'm the king. He worked for me, and they making him look bigger than me, not knowing that you already got fired, but you still want the applause and the affection of people. And the Bible says instead of saying something to the women, he started looking at David. Therefore, watch this, y'all. He brought him close to keep his eyes on him. Some people, be careful about every invitation you take. Because some invitations are meant to watch you, not to be with you. They're trying to keep enemies close to them so they can watch and see how you're doing, what you're doing, what is the key to your success. And that's why they're inviting you out of nowhere and stuff. That's why they loving on you out of nowhere. Ain't talked to you in 10 years, but now all of a sudden they want to hook up and send you a text and say, hey, how you doing? You was on my mind. No, they done heard how God is with you. They've heard how God has blessed you, and now they want to be around and see the secret to your success. So Saul brings David in the house. He's one of the warriors. He's one who, and he's formed this friendship with Jonathan, Saul's son. David has a pretty good life, but the Bible said that about five recorded times, Saul was trying to kill David. Five times in our canonized Old Testament passages, we see Saul trying to go after David. So David, even though anointed, is on the run. David, it's not that David can't. If David can whoop Goliath, he probably could whoop Saul. But because of his love for Saul, he's struggling with why is Saul even trying to kill me? Because I have done nothing to hurt him. I've done nothing to disrespect him. I've done nothing to tear him down. But every time I turn around, he's trying to take me out. Now, the shout of it is that he's unsuccessful. But the grief is, why is he still coming for me? Now, throughout my study, throughout my time of reading this passage and reading all this story, I have some questions I want to ask the Holy Ghost concerning this passage. Because Bible says every time David would go from Hilah to Adullam to Achish and Gad, every time he would go different places, Saul would get word of where David was. And I asked the scripture some questions, because how does word get to Saul about every move? How does he keep finding out? This is before social media. This is before text. This is even before calls being free at 9 p.m. It's way before that. How is he finding out every move? Here's the shout. He's always late. But how does he always know where? It's all, so it's perhaps in David's camp. How is it possible in the camp? There's some two-faced folks. Because in order to get it confirmed, somebody always promised or told Saul where David is. Here's what Saul didn't understand. Every time he was under attack and before he made another move, he consulted God. And every time he talked to God, God told him, yeah, they're coming for you. He said, Lord, are they going to sell me out here? Yeah, they're going to sell you out, so you better go on and go. God will always take care of his. But I have an issue with folk who go walk with you and then turn their back on you and still walk on. Maybe I'll get another chance down the road to talk about that. Let's get here now, because he has once again escaped the clutches of Saul. He continues to escape the clutches of Saul. God keeps providing ways and avenues and places where Saul can't get to David. Jonathan is always the promise that, hey, man, I'm going to help you best I can. Matter of fact, Saul got so mad at Jonathan for helping David, he cussed him. Called him a son of a you-know-what. His own son. That's how incensed, that's how violent, that's how intense this hatred got for David. And maybe today, beloved, some people are giving you all this kind of Hades because you keep showing up. Here's the problem. You keep showing up, but they can't find you. You in church right now. They looking at you, but can't get to you. I'll catch y'all sometime next week. Let's get this text so I can let y'all go. Y'all 38 hot with me. I thought I had more Davids than Sauls. But obviously I think I got a few more Sauls than I was prepared for. So I got to tell you something, Saul. Help yourself today. Let it go. Let it go. It's not going to work. Plotting, setting them up, slanderizing their name. Don't you see God keep on? So let's begin. Let me get out of here. It begins, beloved, with convenient circumstances. I could, but I won't. And we begin with convenient circumstances. The Bible says that David and his men have left, they flee, and Saul and his men have heard about where David is. They've gotten word he's somewhere in this place called En-Gedi. Can the church say En-Gedi? And this is a very difficult region, because in this particular area where they are, there's a lot of mountains and a lot of sharp rocks. Matter of fact, nobody hang out there but mountain goats. Mountain goats having a necessary biological function where they can handle the cliffs and handle the edges and handle. People ain't supposed to hang out in En-Gedi. Nothing there but sheep, the sheepfold of mountain goats. Yet David's on the run, and he and his men go into a cave in En-Gedi. Saul hears, once again, by some sellout, that David and his people are somewhere near En-Gedi. Here come the convenient circumstances. Lo and behold, Saul goes into a cave. And the Bible says he goes into a cave to relieve himself. Missed it. David and his men go in the cave and hide in the back from Saul. Saul, while on the run after David, goes into this particular cave to relieve himself. He goes somewhere privately because a king ought not relieve himself. Y'all know what I mean by relieving himself, right? He went to go to the restroom to practice, won't let his excretory system do what his digestive system has prepared. I hope y'all got me. I'm trying to be. That the food has gone through his digestive system, through the esophagus, down through the intestines, and now it is prepared now to formulate into an excretory excrement. Y'all got me? He was going in the cave to relieve himself because I'm not going to do it publicly, but I'm a king because I'm going to go somewhere private and relieve myself. And since he's got on these kingly garments, that means he has to expose. What am I saying? Trying to get you, they expose themselves. I lost y'all. He goes in the cave. He don't know David is in the inner part of the cave. He think it's just some random cave he's going to, and just like God would have it, trying to attack somebody else, you expose yourself. I'm going to tell you something. I didn't know some people were as mean and hateful as they were until they tried to attack others. In other words, they reveal who they really are when they don't get their way. Man, it's a lot of stuff behind some smiles people give you. It's a whole lot behind some of this old church stuff people do. It's some jokers who, if they could, they would kill you dead if they could and still keep on grinning and still keep on worshiping, praising God and don't mean some of us any good. And God set that thing up where somebody that you didn't expect exposed themselves. And here's the shout. He thought he was doing it private. And here it is, you're watching, you really showing your tail. Y'all are catch that for what we go with. You showing your tail trying to take me out. You showing your nakedness trying to take me out. You sitting there making yourself look bad trying to take me out because now look what you're dealing with and now convenient circumstances have brought you, right? In other words, you looking for me and I found you. What do you do while you trying to look for somebody else? God exposes you. You're willing to go through all mountain ridge. You're willing to go all these different levels just to take David out, Saul. And he goes in this cave and he begins to relieve himself. And then David's men, somebody say David's men. David's men say, psst. How convenient would it be? Here's what God would do with you, David. God will let you see the worst in somebody that's been trying to bring out the worst in you. I'm teaching this thing, but y'all saying, God will show you something about the individual trying to take you out. And if you chose, if he's relieving himself, he's not paying attention to his surroundings. And we've got you outnumbered because you left your crew to come do this, thinking it ain't nobody going to come in after you while you go do that. And the very one you're trying to kill could kill you. How do you handle, beloved, moments in your life when the ones who just will not leave you alone, you end up seeing something in them? And it's convenient. You could do it, and since you're in a cave, you could do it in the dark. You could do this in the dark, and nobody would know that you got them. It's a perfect setup that they done backed in here and then showed themselves. And right when they showed themselves, you can get them. Because can you feel David? Can y'all feel him? When I see my attacker in a weakened state, I got to choose, do I say, oh, he in a weakened state, or do I remember everything he caused me? Every bit of pain, every bit of trauma, every bit of difficult, because we understand by now, this has been a long time of Saul trying to kill David. You don't put your mouth on David. You got other folks trying to kill David. You done sold folks out to get David. And now David knows everything been done to try to kill him. And now you've got this guy right where. Isn't it interesting how God will make you face your emotions? He makes you face everything they did to you. You hurt me. You attacked me. You publicize, you put a bounty on my head. You helped other folk try to get me out. And now this anger can rise up in me. This payback spirit can rise up in me. I really want to get them. And I can. It's dark. Nobody will see me. Then I got people pumping me up. Bible says his men are telling him, you got him. You got him. Look what he done to you. And God, and then they done lied and said, God did it. Okay, y'all ain't read the Bible right. Surely you can do the very thing God has opened this door for you to get your attacker. Be careful to let your emotions mess up your faith, because you'll start blaming God and putting God in something that your emotions doing. God ain't told you to get me told. You've been wanting to get me told. God ain't told you to say some of the stuff you're saying. You've been wanting to say it. You just needed space and opportunity. God, forgive us for using the pulpit, using the church, and using any other platform to get folk told or to attack people back. It was your emotions that got the best of you. God ain't told you that. You've been wanting to tell me that. You just need some convenient circumstances. You've been wanting to slap him. I thought I was in the right church. You've been wanting to get her back. You've been wanting to set her up. You've been wanting to slash her tires. You've been wanting to fire them. You've been wanting to demote them. Because of everything they did to you, and your emotions have overweighed your faith. Somebody better tell the truth today and say that sometime when you're faced with this stuff, you ain't thinking about what God said. You think about how they made you feel. And you've got a chance of a lifetime to get them back. Some of y'all done told God, God, I'm going to have to go and get this one. You'll get the next one. I got this one, God. I done been through too much hell. They done hurt me so bad. But God forbid that we do people how they do us. Is there anybody with integrity anymore? Is there anybody who trusts God anymore? Why is God's people acting like the world? We ought to be better. We ought to go higher. We ought to pray about it. We shouldn't be as messy. We shouldn't be as vengeful. We shouldn't be as malicious. So, here I go again telling you this, that everything you have a right to do is not right to do. And we talk this talk about what we can do to somebody. Oh, I can get, if you don't hush. Because if you're going to keep bringing up what you can, that means you want to. Mm-mm. Well, it's convenient circumstances because he got him right where he could get him. Look how this thing done worked out. God allowed it not to test Saul, but to test David. God ain't just bringing them in your hand. God want to see if you go put them in his hand. Everybody want to get somebody back. And so if you get them back, what have you accomplished? That you're no better than they are. If they gutter and you get gutter, who's the anointed one? I can't tell the difference because both of y'all in the gutter. Because you just got to get them told. You just got to give them a piece of your mind. And some of y'all don't even sleep at night till you get them back. Letting all these emotions that you feel, I'm not saying that you ought not feel them, but now you got to trust the God who will help you with your emotions. You got to have a moment where you remember, hey, I went through all that, but I went through all that. I went through all that, but God brought me through all that. And look what I learned while I went through it. I learned God to take care of me on mountains. I learned God to take care of me in valleys. I learned God to help me with the right people. I learned that God to take some people out. I learned God will feed me. I learned God will provide me. You really thought you were hurting me, but you showed me more about my God. I never known God was a healer until he let you hurt me. I never known God was a provider until he took you from me. So, after the convenient circumstances, here comes a conscientious choice. So choice got to be made. Somebody say choice. Choice. That means the devil don't make you and God don't make you. Devil don't make you. God don't make you. You and I make choices. You and I make choices. You choose to do whatever you're doing. You choose to handle it however you handle it. Now you got enough information, and it's up to you to make the right choice. The information is Saul been after me. He been trying to kill me. He knows every move I make. So I mean, I got a Saul out there and a sellout right here. Tate, what you do when you got a Saul and a sellout? Won't that thing preach, girl? When you got a Saul and a sellout. Two enemies, one battle. And I got to do all I can to keep peace. Because some of these folks talking to you ain't nothing but a bunch of sellouts. Let pressure come. Let it not be a popular time to be aligned with you. When the streets get to talking. Because Saul wouldn't have so much information if it wasn't a sellout close. God deliver us from folks disguise themselves as family. Because some of the greatest battles is to stay on assignment while you're so afflicted. And by now, I'm not tripping off Saul. I know what he's about. I'm tripping off these intel officers who letting the enemy know every move I make. Because you wouldn't be able to do that if David hadn't trusted them with some access. And some of us today got to be honest and say we're hurt not about Saul, but by the people who have access. I let you in and you used it to your advantage with the enemy. And I got to do the best I can not to expose you and just keep walking for God. Because I dare believe one of them jokers in the cave trying to tell me to kill Saul, you the one told Saul where I was. So while I'm in the kill mood, you better not turn that knife towards you. Y'all ain't feeling me. I'm trying to do some group therapy here. Y'all don't want to feel me. There are some people who will make you feel like you can't trust nobody. And God has called you to be a child of him. God has told you to reach the mountain, reach the area, reach the city, reach the community, reach people. But what do you do when you don't trust nobody? Because you're under constant attack just for doing what God called you to do. Ain't like I'm calling Saul, David said, and telling him where I am. Y'all don't like this. Ain't like I'm telling Saul where I am. One of y'all telling Saul where I am. And then he goes, when it's time for attack, y'all like y'all don't even know. Saul. That's a shame, Pastor. That's a shame. Ain't it funny how sellouts play crazy? What? I wish I had a witness. What? I'm gonna tell you how to spot a sellout. They get over, they overcompensate. They just be extra. What? OMG. I know ain't nobody coming after my right hand, man. I know ain't nobody coming after my brother. I know ain't nobody coming after my sister. Uh-uh. We ain't gonna have that. She just went to Walmart. Her kid got an F. They say they ain't together no more. I'm glad you trusting me with this, man. I appreciate you telling me you and your wife ain't really, because now I can know what to pray about. Man, they say him and her done got the, it, now's your time to go get her if you want to, cause. Oh, man, I better leave this alone. I better leave this thing alone, because y'all finna start tripping. And how you handle it when God lets you see your cell out? And you see your soul. They playing crazy, and now you got to play crazy. What? I know you lying. I don't even know what's going on. Yeah, you know what's going on. Knows as you is. Oh, you know what's going on. How you don't miss that, but you miss everything? No. You trying to overcompensate for your sellout mindset. So, here comes a conscientious choice. Bible says that the men pump him up. Somebody say pump him up. There's always going to be somebody trying to pump you up, do something stupid. And make you feel like you got a right to do it. A real friend will keep you from trouble. Not get you in deeper. You're in a season of your life, you don't need hoo-riders. You need some prayer partners. If you're not going to pray with me about this issue, then get out of my face. I don't need help doing something stupid. I can do it by myself. You think it wasn't already on my mind to do something ignorant? That's why I talk to somebody else so you can give me some sense. Don't. So in other words, I'm trying to help. Don't go talk to a fool when you're in a fool mindset. If you know you're on the edge, don't get somebody who's going to push you. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the, I'm trying not to. Now listen to y'all. God help us today. It's like a struggle sometimes. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My bad. A conscientious choice that you gotta make. Bible says David sneaks up on Saul, cuts his garment. I cut what he's wearing, but I don't cut him. Because sometimes your curiosity gets the best of you. Can I really do this? Can I really do this and get away with it? So you'll cut the garment but won't cut the gut. I'll cut what's attached to them. I'll hurt what's attached because I got to feel like I got to get something out of this. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, David was wrong. Uh-oh. Yeah. But sometimes your emotion makes you do, just at least test the water. If I can cut the robe and it don't feel, he don't feel it, I just might could get that neck. Y'all don't want to be real. Some of y'all think y'all safe because you ain't really cut them, but you attack what's attached to them. You mess with their kids. Mess with their family members because you know how they feel about their family. So if you really want to hurt what they love. And thank you, slick, because you ain't cut them. That's another way they play crazy. What you talking about? I ain't cut you, but you cut what's attached to me. You trying to come after me, but cut what's connected to me. And you go, best you can use is, well, I ain't cut you. I said it, but how you know I said it toward you?
Lord, you got me in some deep water now.
You doing it, and you think you're off the hook because you didn't hurt them personally, but you still cut something that was close to them. And it's not so much about the cut, it's your intent. Your intent was to cut. David, y'all, didn't accidentally cut that man's robe. Oop, my bad, I didn't mean to cut. Yes, you did. You went right there with intention to cut it because you needed a little bit of vindication that I can get something. You got to have that little vindication, don't you? You got to get a little bit of your get back to prove that you ain't no punk, to prove that you're not weak. So I might not cut them, but I'm going to cut something to make myself feel better. Now, when I come back with the proof that I can do it, But see, David got a problem, y'all. He's a man after God's own heart. And David took that garment back, and he looked, and the Bible says he got grieved. His consciousness said, you're wrong. The crowd say, get it. But your consciousness says, uh-uh. Here's the thing, y'all. It's not about just doing wrong. It's not about just getting payback. It's about how it makes you feel when you do. You have no scruples at all? That's what a $2 word means. Don't you feel guilty? I know y'all know what scruples meant. I'm sorry. I don't know no scruples at. Where do you got them at? Walmart? It's not an item. I forgot. My bad. Y'all. I got a shot. I ain't getting no scruples. That's not what I'm talking about. Scruples is when you don't fit, when you're feeling guilty. And to hurt people and not feel anything about it is a dangerous place to be. To not have an ounce of remorse. Let me tell you something. When you belong to God, and God belongs to you, you don't need a soul to tell you that you're wrong. This is why we spend so much time justifying it. Because deep down, you know you're wrong. Another sign of being wrong, well, you got to ask somebody else. Was I wrong? Y'all done shut down on me. I'm just trying to help y'all. You ask somebody else because you know it's wrong. You need somebody else to co-sign. Nick credit shot too. And typically we go ask somebody who's always going to agree. Because you don't prepare for somebody to tell you, well, you were wrong. See, that's what I'm talking about. You judging. You ask me. Well, sometimes silence is sign you're doing a good job. Thank you, Fred. I appreciate you, man. Sometimes silence and looking around crazy is a sign that you're doing pretty good because y'all done went left on your boy. Because you're getting folks back in a sneaky way, indirectly hurting them, and they want somebody to justify what you're doing. Now, come on, safe instance. No, you did that. Ain't no instance. I did it. Safe instance, somebody hurt you, and you, like, throw a brick through their door. I mean, I ain't throw the brick at them. I just threw it at their door. Am I wrong? I mean, are they wrong? Yeah. So the Bible says his heart was vexed. He was grieved because he had cut anything. He acted out of emotion. He acted out of his anger and his hurt and his frustration with constantly being under attack from Saul. And he let his emotion get the best of him, and he cut something. He got violent. And if David don't get a sense of consciousness, he gonna go cut Saul sooner or later. Yes, he will. If you don't let that thing deal with you, it's gonna get worse. Because the more you get away with, the more you gonna try to get away with. Lord, and she done left. Mike and I went sat down. Micah sits up there every sermon. Just left me up here by myself. And grinning, think it's all right. Supposed to be my little brother. Anyway, there's a conscientious choice you have to make. He chooses to say, I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to let God handle that. He says, if God go get anybody, it won't be me. Y'all missed that. I'm not going to get God trying to get them. If God go get, it's going to be the one who messing against God. I'm not going to get in trouble with God. Because evil does not justify more evil. Y'all got to really handle your crowd better. Can I teach that real quick? Learn how to handle your crowd better. People who are always telling what you want to hear. Oh, man. So, a conscientious choice. Then here comes a courageous confrontation. Let me get out of here quick as I can. We ain't finna dismiss. Y'all get that money and get out of here. A courageous confrontation. I mean it. When we pray it off, I mean get out of here quick. Don't come back to next week. Because y'all tripping today. Y'all tripping hard. And Mike is standing up here to the drum set. Oh, they're nodding his head. Amen. It's a courageous confrontation. Saul relieves himself, goes out back toward his people. David comes out to the end of the cave. Saul! Hey, King Saul! Can I tell you something real quick, though, with this choice as it prepares for the confrontation? David says, I'm not going to kill the Lord's anointed. Watch this. Because right now, somebody say right now. Right now, he's still the king. And I'm going to respect God enough not to hurt who God placed. Here it is. Can I help you? Because David understands one day I'm going to be in that seat. And I don't want to get my get back and somebody going to come after me for the same thing because I put it in motion trying to get Saul. Is there anybody who can thank God that I can see sometimes I shouldn't do because I got a day coming. I got a moment coming and I don't want to have to reap what I've sown. He's the king now. I'm going to be the king one day. I don't want that kind of stuff happening to me. He says he's the Lord's anointed. He even respecting somebody who is not respectable. Y'all missing it. Saul has acted any other way but kingly, but godly. And the one he's trying to kill still seeing God in him. God done fired him, but I'm going to still respect you. I'm still going to be respectable and still have character, even though you're not being anything like you ought to be. But it's not going to affect my character. Ain't that good, y'all? That's what people want you to do. Sometimes they want you to come down to their level. But you got to go where God has made you to be. He says, hey, Saul, turn around. Is that my son, David? Now I'm your son. I'm your son now. David says, oh, King, Saul, turn around. Look, it's me, the very one you've been trying to kill. He says, I could have, but I didn't. Now will you believe? I don't mean you no harm. He makes Saul face it. He has a confrontation, and it took courage because I don't know how this is going to work out, but it takes courage to confront the one who's been trying to kill me. And he says, Saul, while you were in there using your excretory system and let that all up in his cave, because now we're dealing with your mess. Different message. Now we're dealing with the mess you made. You left the mess for somebody else. And I could have killed you while you were in your mess. Y'all missing God. You were dealing with your mess and left your mess on somebody else. And instead of me dealing with you while you in your mess, I let you leave here because I could have took you out knowing everything you're trying to do to me. And he held up the garment. See here? Here's what fooling with you almost got me doing. I could have killed you, Saul. But now will you finally believe that I mean you no harm? What more will it take for you to realize that I love you, man? Everything I ever did was to honor you. I played the harp for you. I defeated giants for you. I married you. You tricked me with the daughter-in-law. I finally got a good daughter-in-law, a wife. You done messed over me all this time, and you keep running from me, trying to kill me. Will you finally believe that I could, but I won't? Problem was, Saul always recognized that God was with David. And because he felt like God was with David, he felt like God wasn't with him. He had that confrontation with him. He confronted him. And he waited to where he was safe enough. Y'all missed it. I could have confronted him and killed him because he couldn't run. But because I love God and because I'm a forgiving king, because I'm a gracious person, I'm going to put him in a position where he's comfortable. No matter how he's trying to threaten me, I'm going to put him in a safe space, and I'm going to talk to him about what he's trying to do to me. He says, now all of a sudden Saul, a lot of stuff going on in Saul here now. He could have died while exposed. How close he came. And now he had to see mercy. Ooh, man, how do you and I handle when we want to be malicious and all we can see is mercy? Ooh. So here comes now a complete confirmation. I'm done. Complete confirmation. I'll try again next week, Lord willing. A complete confirmation. Because now the very one who's been trying to stop it endorses it. David, my son, now I see. You surely are the Lord's anointed. God is with you and you're going to have everything that God said you're going to have. You're going to be with God. You're going to be the king of Israel. I see it now. And watch what happens, y'all. He says, now make a pledge with me, that you won't hurt me or anybody coming after me. Wait a minute. You the hunter, you trying to kill me and got the nerve to ask me to give you and your children a break. Do y'all know what the Lord's anointed did? I ain't talking about us. I'm talking about the Lord's anointed. He said, so be it. Watch this. Do you know the hurting part? That life so happened, and Saul chased David again. He made his whole pledge with David that David wouldn't go try to hurt him. He recognized the fact that he's God's anointed, and you still let circumstances and people make you try to attack the dude again. What do you do when even today, after we hear a word, some of us still ain't gonna change? We're gonna say all the right stuff because we're really scared. I ain't got no trust but to agree because you got the sword. I'm still just in there washing my hands. And then life happens and they come again and try to do it to you some more. But that has no bearings on the fact. And you know what David did again? He had another chance to kill Saul again and chose once again not to kill him. Well, y'all ain't like this message. Because I understand why you ain't like this message, because it don't let you get too much get back.